Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters. Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet, WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin, Mass. FM radio dial 102.9. Here today for another virtual candidate interview for the biennial election 2025, election to be held on November 4, although in-person voting is in the town clerk's office already. Starting through Halloween, and no trick or treat it's required. So this is a bit unusual because we have a write-in candidate. So you weren't on the ballot initially. So thank you for doing this, Christine.
Thank you.
And officially, Christine Mucciarone, write-in candidate for Board of Health.
Correct.
Indeed. So before we get there, let's just who's Christine? This. Give us a little bit of your Franklin story and your life here in Franklin.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to get my name and my voice out there. Being a write-in candidate, I didn't have the chance to get signs up on the street or to get my face and voice out there ahead of time. So this is a perfect opportunity to let the town know who I am and who all the other candidates are. There's a great array of candidates this year for across all the different committees and boards. So again, thank you for what you do.
Thank you. Yeah, I have fun doing this. And yeah, as I think I've said in others, I need to do this for myself, so I might as well share it.
Well, thank you for sharing. So, in regards to myself, I'm Christine Mucciarone. I was born and raised here in Franklin. I guess you could call me a townie.
A
I
townie,
grew
yes.
up just outside of the center of town on 140 on West Central Street near Davis Thayer. I grew up with three other siblings. We all attended St. Mary's School. I believe our class, or my class, was the last one to go all 8 years, but they slowly but surely closed the school, unfortunately. From St. Mary's, I ventured down the street to what's now the middle school. At the time, it was the high school.
Right.
We were on double sessions, transitioning over to the new school with the nice big field house and
Field
everything.
house.
Right. It was at the at the time, probably the state of the art. You know, it held so many fond memories. I graduated in 1974 from Franklin High. Well, there, my freshman year, I was introduced to a fellow classmate, Mark Mucciarone, who ended up being my high school sweetheart. We dated 4 years of high school, all through college. We got married in 1979, 6 months to the day of him graduating from college. We are coming up on our 46th wedding anniversary in a couple of weeks. We
Congratulations.
thank you. We have three adult children, seven grandchildren, ranging in age from 4 months up to 22 years old. So I'm privy to watch the youngest one learning to sit at 4 months old, to the oldest one who's training to be a Navy corpsman down in San Antonio, Texas. So I'm very fortunate to be able to enjoy them and see them grow and flourish with what they're doing. And I'm very proud to be called Nonnie from them. We built our house in Franklin in 1985 in the same neighborhood that Mark grew up in. At the time, predominantly Italian. Everybody, you know, either related in some capacity, but very close-knit neighborhood and continues to be the same to this day. Everybody watches out for everybody. My in-laws grew up 3 houses down from our, my in-laws lived 3 houses down from us, I should say. So it's the house that Mark grew up in. Currently, right now, one of our daughters is raising her family in that homestead. So it's a bit of a role reversal. My kids were able to enjoy visiting their grandparents, and my parents lived about a mile away. And now I'm able to enjoy mine, being able to see them every day. So it's a great opportunity to be in Franklin, be where our kids are, and watch the next generation of them come up. My work career, or my professional career, took a different turn. I wasn't sure when I graduated high school what I exactly wanted to do. So I guess you could say I took a gap year. I like many of the kids back there in that in the 70s, if your parents worked at this place called the Foxborough Company, everybody as a child for the most part were offered summer employment. So I started with that during my junior and senior year, and then my senior year I stayed on. Still not sure what I wanted to do. I was offered to stay on there, and I did stay there at the Foxborough Company for 9 years. I got married while I was there. We had our first daughter while I was there, and it was actually while I was there that I kind of changed my career path. Our daughter at the time, she was just about a year old, happened to get sick. Nothing serious, but she did require some hospitalization at Milford Hospital. And while I was there, and while she was there, me being me, I started inquiring about the therapists that were coming in to visit her. And they were, in fact, respiratory therapists. So I sat and I talked to them day after day as to how they did their education, what were the job requirements, the different modalities that they did. So I happened to be sitting there one afternoon when Mark came in to visit us from following work. And I said, I really would like to change my day job. So he asked what I wanted to do. So I explained to him and he said, well, let's crunch the numbers. And lo and behold, I gave my notice. I walked out of the Foxborough Company after the 9 years, as I said, wondering what did I just do? But we I said I left a stable environment. I had a paycheck, and then all of a sudden I'm going to be doing something totally different. But it was probably the best choice that I made for us on a whole. I did go back to school full time for respiratory therapy. I did my clinical at Waltham Hospital and was fortunate enough to stay there. I stayed there for about a little over a year. But the commute to Franklin was just too much. There's no easy way to Waltham.
That's a tough, that is a tough commute.
It is. So I applied for and was hired at the time it was known as Framingham Union Hospital, now MetroWest Medical Center. And I worked there in respiratory therapy for 36 years, retiring in 2021. Retiring full-time in 2021, but I just couldn't quite let go, so I stayed per diem for a little over a year. And so if you notice the dates, you'll notice that I worked through COVID.
I was going to ask, that was an interesting way to almost
Segue
retire. You probably didn't want to retire during that
in. No. As being in the field at that point, I had seen what I thought I'd seen everything.
Right.
COVID came along and it was like learning your career all over again.
Yeah.
You could leave the office in the morning and go into the units, and with the protocol being one thing, and within an hour, your manager is coming in and say, no, we're doing it this way. It was a very re rewarding time. But sad at the same time, you
Right.
witnessed a lot.
Sure.
But you also saw the success stories. I don't want to get emotional on it, but
No,
yeah, you
no.
saw the success stories and the camaraderie amongst people,
Sure.
from the doctors to everybody, the respiratory therapists, the nurses, physical therapy, everybody that was involved in some aspect of the care of our critically ill patients, because they were so critically ill.
Right.
But again, like I said, it was a really rewarding time. We got through it, we're past it. And as I said, I left there completely in 2022. I miss my patients I miss my coworkers, but I'm enjoying this next chapter or aspect of my life, being gainfully retired and being able to be nanny and babysitter and taxi and what have you. And it has given me the opportunity to have the chance to see that I have time that I can, give back to the town. I may not have mentioned, but as the kids were growing up, I did volunteer a lot. My schedule, I worked evenings or nights, sometimes days. So I had the freedom to be able to volunteer and help, as the kids were growing up. I volunteered as a Girl Scout leader, Franklin Pop Warner, the Franklin Charges, when it was the Franklin Charges. I was on the board with as a cheerleading coordinator. As my kids went on to high school, got involved with the Franklin Girls Field Hockey Association and the Girls Lacrosse Association. And then my son went to Tri County. So I was busy there, being involved with the athletic boosters up there. So, it was a way to give back and be involved in my kids' lives. And it was just a rewarding time too. Every aspect of your life has a sense of reward, and those were mine. So.
As especially through the parent stages, you get the youth, the very youth, you put them down and they stay there for a bit, but then that doesn't last that long. And once they start getting mobile, things are getting a little bit more challenging, but then they become more exciting to deal with when they start having full conversations. But then it also becomes more complex because now they're requesting drives here, drives there, schedules here. But yeah, it's all the stages of life. And yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it because yeah, I think most parents would.
Yeah,
It's the
me
joy of
too.
bringing up kids for sure.
Right. Yeah, and I think it says a lot for the kids to see parental involvement. Not everybody can. I was fortunate that my job allowed me to do it, and so not everybody can. I feel bad for the parents that their work schedule doesn't let them get to a game. So, and I was so fortunate, and Mark coached, through high school and stuff and college and at the college level. So it was, it's good to be able to be involved at the same time and give of yourself. So.
Good. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
And the second question, and for the listeners, thank you for joining us. Hopefully you've seen the other candidate interviews. If you haven't, there's a full playlist for all the candidate interviews. This will get added to it. All the candidates got the same questions, so that you can have kind of that common platform to say, oh, he said this, she said this, so I want to go this way or that way, and you can make your informed decision. So the second question that everybody gets is around the civil discourse, which unfortunately at the national level is really getting disordered, politely. But we're fortunate here in Franklin, at least this is a biennial election. It's nonpartisan. There's still local politics, but we still need to have a civil discourse. So how in your actions role would you help facilitate that civil discourse?
When I saw that question, it was probably the one that I pondered over the most or the hardest because it there is a fine line. Social media today can be a huge asset. We used to look through encyclopedias for our research. They go right online and Google. But they can Google some of the tough stuff too. And you see the different bantering back and forth, both on social media, between groups and families. I just think we need to slow down, step back, take a deep breath. And realize that we need to be civil with everybody. We need to listen to everybody. Everybody's has a valued opinion. Somebody may come along as they stand up at, say, the town council meeting or the zoning board meeting or the planning board meeting, or even at school committee meeting, and may come up with an idea that the light bulb goes on. And it could be the final piece of the puzzle that we need, but everybody needs to do it respectfully. They need to be open-minded and listen. Just give everybody a chance to voice their opinion. We may not always agree, But we can learn to disagree constructively, I guess is the word. Respect what everybody has to offer. Like I said, somebody may come up with the final piece that we need for that puzzle to make something work.
Sure.
And I was always brought up with the old cliche of treat people the way you want to be treated. And I think if it could go a long way for making civil discourse be successful, if that's the right phrase, because I just think we need to be fair with everybody and give everybody a chance.
Yeah,
That's my
I
advice.
concur, and thank you for that. I'd let in my wishful world, if I had the wand, I would take social media apps off the cell phones. They can still be smart, but they just can't use social media apps, so that we can have the conversations.
Exactly.
I don't have
That's
that
another
wand
story.
yet.
That's another story.
So I think you touched on some of your professional background, but the third question specifically allows you to explain what of your background would help bring your skill set, or what of your skill sets would you be bringing to this role on the Board of the Health? Or another way to phrase it is, what preparations would enable you to, operate in the Board of Health, or at least collaborate with others on the Board of Health?
Well, when I first saw that the Board of Health had an opening, that they didn't have any candidates, before I decided to make my intentions known, I did a little research. I used social media. I used the Franklin.gov site and looked up exactly what the Board of Health did. I realized that they were there to protect us, both health-wise, to protect the community, to keep us informed of the local, state, and national regulations and requirements and everything that goes on. But I was really intrigued by some of the other aspects of what they do, be it going around and checking the various food establishments. Sewer. I didn't realize they were involved with, checking out the different things involved with that. Checking and making sure that everybody's licensed that are running the spas or the nail salons or, that stuff. So there was a different avenue that I wasn't sure. Not having really been involved with it before, I wanted to make sure that my qualifications would be an asset for the board and not a liability for the board. I didn't want to be stepping into something where, my qualifications weren't right. And, knowing what I did, I've communicated with the doctors, with nurses, case managers, everything at work and everything, work, making sure that advocating for patients that they had what they needed before they went home. So I thought I could bring a different avenue, a different, hopefully a different vibe, or for lack of better words, mechanic, that my experience as a respiratory therapist could help, if they could use it. So that's where I am.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. And that gives us a segue, because you touched on COVID, and that was certainly your a turn during your experience, but a great opportunity as well. So the health department certainly became on the front line for Franklin, where most residents really probably wouldn't have guessed we had a health department until COVID occurred.
Correct.
Now with the pandemic mostly behind us, but obviously it's still, COVID hasn't gone away completely. In your role as oversight for the department, what do you see as the next steps for the department and community to maintain good health?
I think you're right. COVID, the pandemic's behind us, but COVID, I think, is going to be around for some time. All the different strains, the variants that are still out there. Everybody's needs to use some common sense when it comes to COVID or the flu or even a cold. If they have symptoms, they need to know that just because it could be like the common cold for them, it may not be for the other serious, the immunocompromised patients or the elderly patients or infants that haven't been vaccinated against it. So they just need to be cautious when they go out in public. They need to be acutely aware of what's going on. You know your surroundings, know what you're dealing with when you're out in public. And if you're going out with a cold, if you know you may be positive and you did venture out, wear a mask. But again, that's part of what the Board of Health does. They keep them educated and they let people know what's going on. Back during COVID, it had all the statistics. So of what was going on, how people were, if people were infected, if people unfortunately died. So keeping abreast of what the town has available to its residents, I think is a great aspect for us to stay informed.
Good. Thank you for that. And while we've covered a few topics and clearly can't cover the entire world in this short period of time, if there's another topic that you'd like to add for the community's information or work that into, kind of a closing statement, now is your opportunity since the folks are listening.
I don't have anything more really or another topic to add, but I do think I would, I like this platform to be able to get my name out there. I want the people to know that by applying or putting my name into the running, it was knowing that I was giving 100% commitment. I can't wait to see how the position could fill out. I would be so happy if the people of the town of Franklin would consider me for the position on the Board of Health. And as I said, you won't be disappointed. I'm going to give 100%, and that's me.
That too. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And I think because you're a write-in candidate, there are specific instructions to
Correct.
make sure that they pick you and make it easy for the town clerk to tally through.
Correct. And that was one of the other things I had to look up because I wasn't sure what you did as a write-in vote or a write-in candidate. So you have to have our complete name, which is for mine. It's Christine Muccheroni. And I live at 87 Hill Avenue. I will be down at the polls that day handing out cards because, like I said, I decided a little late, unfortunately. I didn't make signs up to have around town. I did post to the Franklin page and to the Franklin Vote page with a little bit about myself. So, yeah, if you could just have my name and my address, and I'll have cards there that day if anybody's interested. And I will post probably one more time with my name and my address so that people are aware of who I am and my intentions. And again, thank you.
Yes, thank you. And for the listeners, we'll include a slide at the end of this with her name, address listed out, and other contact info. So if you have additional questions or concerns or just want to chat, you'll have her info so you can connect.
Please do. Please do.
Happy to share because, it's important. And we
Thank
thank you for
you.
doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
And to the listeners, thank you for listening. And a quick reminder that clearly the in-person early voting is still open through October 31, Halloween, as I mentioned, and then in person at the high school from 6 a.m. through 8 p.m. Tuesday, November 4th. And a final reminder, we do this because Franklin matters.
This program was made possible by your Franklin friends and neighbors, good folks just like you. Thanks for supporting Franklin TV. And thanks for watching.